for our learning, because I think what the Lord is trying to do is show us, you know, there's a couple of ways that you could look at Jesus and his cross. And I think these criminals ended up being our representation for how humans will approach Christ and his cross. So the one on the left, I'm thinking, says, you know, if you're really the king of the Jews, and try to imagine, you know, the English doesn't really get it, but what he's really saying is he's giving him the worst insult. He's so insulting. And, you know, he's going to die in a little bit, and he still is hard and insulting and says, why don't you save yourself and save us? More insults for the Lord, who is right in that moment paying for all of our sins. And that man's sins too. There's a hardness there. And I tell you, it's not that hard really to imagine being angry with God. I mean, it really isn't. You know, I don't know if I told this story here before, but I had a cousin years ago. Her father was very sick. This is a long time ago. And she started to pray, and she said, you know, my father's going to be okay. And we would say, why? And she said, well, I'm praying to Jesus. I know he will be fine. And he wasn't. And he died. And this woman became very bitter. And so bitter, she ended up going to prison for a while and doing a lot of bad, stupid things. And still a bitter woman to this day. She's about my age, I guess. Still a bitter woman. No interest in knowing God. And I'm not picking on her, but what I'm trying to do is make a point with you here today. Being like this with God can lead to some very bad consequences. And you always want to watch yourself. You always want to watch yourself. If you ever feel yourself kind of crossing the line with your hate, or getting a little too passionate about hating something or someone, it doesn't matter what it is, you just have to be careful. And the reason is because God said, if you do this, I will judge you as a murderer. And you don't want to be that person, because we know murderers cannot inherit the kingdom. And so this thief, this criminal, whatever it was he was, right up to the very end, he just can't let go. You ever notice how sometimes we'd rather be right than be happy? Have you noticed this? You know, I asked my eighth graders one time over there at Holy Cross, I asked them, so what's better, to be right or be happy? Not a one of them said happy. They all picked right. That's shocking, isn't it? Shocking. Eighth graders, they already got it. We infected them with this, be right. Nonsense, evil, badness. Run from it. It's not good for you. It's not good for me. But this guy wants to hang on to the very end. He won't let go. I'm going to be right. But there's another criminal there. Now, he's probably just as bad. But what's touching about this guy is he's starting to soften. I mean, he's suffering. And he says, don't you fear God? I mean, look at us. We're naked on crosses. We're going to die. And, you know, we did a lot of bad things. So, you know, this is what we got. We deserve this. But from what I know and what I've heard, he didn't do anything wrong. Do you not fear God? When I first got saved, I used to have this problem. I like to think of myself as a baby Christian. I know this sounds silly, but I've only been a Christian for 40 years. People go, wow, 40 years, that's a long time. But when you look at my age, relatively, it's not that long. You know, I'm 66, so I didn't know anything before that. So I still feel like I'm learning. But back when I was learning, and I would read the catechism, and we must fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And I would say to the pastor, well, it says in the Bible everywhere, God says, don't be afraid. What does this mean? I have taught this at least 100 times, and usually people are too scared to listen. So please listen. Don't be afraid of what I'm going to tell you, because I keep saying it over and over, and nobody gets it. I don't know why this is. So here's the deal with don't be afraid and fearing God. So I'm a God-fearing man, and you're God-fearing people. And here's why. Because you don't want to lose Jesus. The problem with human beings, as you know, is we have a tendency to lose him, don't we? And that's the fear. That's the trembling that you must walk in every day. Okay, come on, Larry. Don't do anything so bad that Jesus is going to think you don't want him. I mean, I call it the fear of Larry. That's just really all it is. Fear of myself. Now, here's the other thing I want you to remember. One of these dear little ones, sometimes they'll have a bad dream, and they always call out for their parents. And the parent comes, and they say, okay, everything's all right. And then the parent wants to go, and the kid says, don't go. That's the fear of God. Who said yes? Thank you, my missionary friend there. That's exactly right. That's the fear of God. You don't want, I mean, see, you got to remember, God already lives inside you. You can't be afraid of God coming like, oh no, what if he comes? He's inside you already. He can't come, he's already here. Inside you. So you cannot be afraid of God coming. Don't ever be afraid of God coming because he's already in there. But live in the fear of God leaving. Always. And that's what this man said. That's what the man meant. Don't you fear God. Psalm 120 says, O Lord, with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are what? Feared. Where are you going to go and get forgiveness? You tell me. That means anything, I mean. Nowhere. Jesus. Now, please, I'm not picking on you, but I just got to say this. I know that this sentence has caught on for some years and went out of fashion, then it's coming back. I'm not being mean to you. Please don't take this personally, but please wipe it out of your vocab to say, I've just got to forgive myself. Please stop that. It's not going to help you at all, because your forgiveness is really not worth that much. I mean, come on. You didn't die on a cross. I didn't die on a cross. So you forgiving yourself is a big fat zero. But getting the forgiveness of Jesus, it's worth everything. That's why you come here, isn't it? You want to know you're forgiven. You want to know that he's not thinking about all those bad things we did. He doesn't judge you, or me even. But please, get away from the nonsense. I don't know who started that, but I'd like to strangle him. Because I don't think he was a bad person. He just, you know, it had a nice ring to it. You know, got to forgive myself. And I know y'all use it. I'm not trying to pick on you. Please don't write me letters and say I was mean for saying it. But just think about it for a second, what it means to forgive yourself. Not very much. Better to say, okay, I don't feel so forgiven today, but I know I have the forgiveness of Jesus, and maybe I'll never feel it. Did you ever think about that? I really don't know what it is to feel forgiven. I actually have never felt it. But I know I'm forgiven. But feeling it, I don't know. Maybe for a millisecond, maybe once I did. But you see, that's what's so great about the Bible. The Bible says, nowhere does it say, thou shalt feel forgiveness. Thou shalt forgive thyself. It's not in there. But it does say you are forgiven. Unless you don't want it, which obviously you want it. And so there's the man telling him, don't you fear God? And there's God telling us today, be afraid of nothing. And I mean nothing. We were having a good discussion with my nephew on the way up here about fear and how it ruins us. And really, there's an ancient prayer that says, God, help us to be afraid of nothing except losing you. Isn't that a perfect prayer? Afraid of nothing. Imagine how you would start your day tomorrow if you believed you should be afraid of nothing except losing him. What a lesson, huh? That man was so touched by watching Jesus. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know, isn't it funny? He didn't say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, do this for me. Jesus, when you go into your kingdom, can I have a little room? You don't have to have a bed for me or anything, just a little room or something. He didn't say that. He just said, remember me. Isn't that something? I think I would be asking for everything. But he just said, remember me. Recently, I did a funeral, and the poor lady, she was a wonderful lady, I knew her for years, but in her last 5 or 6 years, she had a bad case of Alzheimer's, and you folks know what a terrible disease this is. And for the last 5 years of her life, she did not know her kids. She actually did not know. When I would say something, she would say, oh, her, you know, she wouldn't know her name, she would call her. Or him, but not actually know who they were. When I was doing the funeral, I said to them, you know, in Isaiah 49, the Lord says this, can a mother forget the baby that she bore? The answer is, she could, but I won't. And after that funeral, while we were eating, so many people said, where's that verse? Because they all had somebody, a cousin or not, who was starting to lose it. And they wanted that. He said, man, I'm going to put that on my fridge. I'm going to, you know, I got to know that one. Your own mother could forget you. God is trying to tell you about how much he loves you there. And when Jesus says, remember me, I gotta believe that he was inspired by the Spirit to say that word. Remember me. As if to say, everybody else forgot about me, Jesus. My family totally disowned me. Will you remember me? That's what you want, isn't it? You want him to know you by name. And then Jesus says the thing that always bothers me. You know, I've been to a lot of places in the world because Jesus says here, today you'll be with me in paradise. All right. Now, the reason today is good for this guy is because he's dying. He'll be dead today. So the day started out badly for this guy, but it's going to end up pretty good for him because the Lord says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now, to my problem. You know, as a missionary working in a lot of different settings, a lot of different places in the world, I've had this one problem. I have sat with people everywhere, on benches, in kitchens, in living rooms, behind stages, in alleys, you name it. And they all want to know about Jesus. Okay. And I tell them everything. But then I hate it when they ask this question. Wow. Well, that sounds good. Okay, so, you know, I don't have to be afraid of the forgiveness. Yeah, no, you're all forgiven. Okay, and then when I die, yes. Okay, but what about like today? What can he do for me today? And I always get a headache because I know that they didn't listen to anything I said. Because you see, today is the problem, isn't it? Today is your problem. Because nobody wants the today they have. They don't want it. Linda and I are perfect examples. You know, retired people like us, they love to talk about how bored they are. I don't know why. So Linda and me say, well, could we trade or something? Because we're never bored, and we could use a little boredom. We're pooping out here, you know. And they say, wow, that sounds great. So you guys are never bored? I said, no, we don't seem to have time, you know, get bored. And I would love to be bored for a while and do nothing. And they said, man, we would love to trade places with you. So there you go, see. Whatever life hands you, it's not good enough. I had a brother who died when he was pretty young. And right before he became a Christian, I said to him, his life was a train wreck. And I said, David, what is it that you actually want? You know, I was getting so mad at him. What is it that you want? And he was very quiet and very thoughtful. And he said, well, what do you got? 56-year-old man. He's done everything there is to do. What have you got? Oh, he got kind of excited, like, oh, good. Something I haven't done yet. Something I haven't had yet. Then I come to realize, David's not the only guy who thinks like this. We all do. Today, you probably are not going to be in paradise. You understand that? This ain't it. It's a dark world out there. A lot of bad things are going on. Some of it might fall on you. I pray it doesn't. Some of it might fall on me. I pray it doesn't. And yet, our todays, our moments, right up to this very moment, are all governed by this one idea. That Jesus is living inside me right now by the power of his Spirit. And that whenever that day is, I will be with him in paradise. And now a lot of people are not comforted by that. I am. But I know a lot of people who are not. And I'm sorry about that. I still have not figured out what to say to people when they say, but I tried that. My today is still lousy. If you are one of those people, I only have one little suggestion to make. It's pretty big, but I'm going to make it. Repent. Stop doing that. It's not helping anything. It's not helping you. It's not helping the people around you. It's not helping Jesus. Your todays are going to be bad in this world. It's in the Bible. But Jesus said, be of good courage. You know what that word means? Strengthen your hearts. Have strong hearts. Courage. I have overcome sin, death, and the power of the devil. Those three men on that day were teaching us everything. Only one of them would come back 3 days later and prove to us that he really is the one we've been looking for. And so, dear friends, I love to come to this church because I can see how dedicated you are to God's mission and to making sure that lost people are reached. But just as importantly, I also see how committed you are to growing in the Lord. This is not just an exercise for you to come to church. I get that from you. That you understand this word is supposed to do something in you. I really like that about this church. Don't ever lose that. I think it's a special gift that you have, that you come here and you listen and you say, okay, I think I got something I need to do. I need to work on something. I like that about this church. I know sometimes you get a little discouraged. You don't have bigger numbers. Who cares? This church does more than the big churches do. Linda and I would be here every Sunday if we could, if it wasn't so far away. Keep up the good work here. The work that's going on down here, the world will never celebrate it. Come on. The world is just not going to do that. Work quietly. Just keep serving him. Keep doing what you're doing. Because just like that guy, you know, you understand about the fear of the Lord. You also understand that when the day comes, you will be with him in paradise. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks very much for the dear people here of Southwest Lutheran. I'm so glad that I could be here with them. I pray, dear Jesus, that today you'll help us. Help us especially to not get so wrapped up in what's happening today in such a way that it ruins everything for us. Help us, Jesus. Help us to repent of when we look at how our life goes and how today goes. Help us to repent of thinking that this means that everything's bad. It doesn't mean that, Lord. But help us to look to you for strength, because you promised you'd give it. So please help these dear people here to keep reaching out and to keep growing in you. We know, Lord, that was one of your commands, to grow in the grace and knowledge. And so today again, Lord, we thank you for these life-saving lessons from the cross. Amen.